I'm Deanne Penn with UN News. When you hear about war and conflict as a news consumer, it can be easy to overlook the human toll, but not in Ethiopia, where a hard-hitting UN Rights Office report has uncovered the very real impact on ordinary people in Tigray. That's where government troops and their supporters have been fighting regional opposition forces since November 2020, and it's led to serious rights violations that may amount to crimes against humanity and war crimes. To explain the report's key findings, here's Françoise Miander from the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. She's Section Chief for East and Southern Africa. She spoke to UN News' Daniel Johnson.
So today is a big day for us because of the release of this report of the Joint Investigation Team, and there are many violations and abuses that have been reported, and at least colleagues have been in a position to interview victims and witnesses. So
some 270 witnesses, I think.
Exactly. So in terms of violations, there are quite many. Of course, so you have in the news already the report about attacks against civilians. Colleagues have been, and they were even able to see the impact of the shelling on houses, hospitals, schools, and houses. I don't know if I mentioned already, but the extrajudicial killings happened. Many people have been killed. Torture have been also mentioned, but one of the, I would say, the key violation for me is, as maybe a woman, is more what is related also to sexual gender-based violence.
How widespread was it?
It was quite widespread. Many victims have been interviewed, but not that many, because of course you know what is linked to rape. It's always very difficult to talk about it, but at least colleagues have been in a position to talk with many. And I mentioned during the press conference some of the examples, quite appalling.
Yes, there was one talk of a mother gang raped in front of her three-year-old child. But there has been some accountability, hasn't there? Ethiopian authorities have said they've pursued prosecutions against some 20 defendants. Is that right? Do you have any more detail on that?
The government told us, mentioned what they have taken as action, but we would like, and that what the High Commission say, we would like to have more, to see more, because in terms of transparency and also in terms of the magnitude of what has been reported. So they really need to take action, and what the High Commission, I think, not only the office, but the international community is expecting from the government of Ethiopia is really to make sure that accountability and people are being held accountable for what they've done, and give the information also to the public. Because also many are asking about the truth. They want
many families, you mean?
Yeah, many families are asking about the truth. They want to know what's happened to their beloved ones. And so
yes, there are reports of people whose hands were tied and shot and found in the river. So there must be many hundreds, if not thousands, of families who want to know the truth. You were talking about transparency, so maybe we could talk about the obstacles that the report has allegedly come up against. I mean, how transparent is this? What was access like for your joint investigative team?
In some areas, it was, you know, there are some militias and security officers in the country, so it prevented the team from accessing some of the locations. And sometimes it was just a matter of security, and you know that as a UN, they have, before moving to an area, so we need a kind of clearance, because if it's unsafe, so the team couldn't proceed. So these were the type of challenges that they had. And some victims or some part of the population, especially in Tigray, they were also rejecting the fact that the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission was with the office, so they...
Because this was a joint mission from the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights and the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission.
Yeah, exactly, at their request. And the High Commission decided to go ahead because we didn't have any other solution. The situation was dire. And the fact that we went together, it's also helped the office to really work with the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission as a partner, because we do that in many countries, equip them with necessary skills. We brought additional experts on the ground, you know, and we also used the office methodology in terms of investigation. So that was, in my view, also one of the good outcomes of this joint investigation, not only bringing about first-hand information regarding violations that had taken place, but also equipping the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission at least for the future, to in this type of endeavour.
And maybe we could talk about the extreme brutality that the High Commissioner Michelle Bachelet has spoken about. She's coined it in that way. The main responsibility comes from who?
The High Commissioner said it's from the, I mean, for the period covered by the joint investigation, when you read the reports.
From November to June. November 2020 to June 2021.
Exactly. I'm thinking that all the auditors, they know about the time frame. So for that period, most of the violations have been committed by Ethiopian national forces and their allies, including Eritrean forces. But as the High Commission said, since the ceasefire in early July, we have seen also many, many abuses reported, committed by Tigrayan forces. At the same time, at that moment, with yesterday, state of emergency declared by the government, the shelling of Mekele, and there are many more, you know, human rights violations by Ethiopia, but also by Tigrayan forces. Mm. So the situation is not improving.
No, it is not improving. The conflict's expanding, as the High Commissioner has warned. And I guess, finally, the Joint Investigative Task Force was also looking at the humanitarian access, and there have been repeated problems and a lack of access. There's a need for 120 trucks a day to get in with fuel and food, and that isn't happening. And there are 400,000 people in famine-like conditions in Tigray, among the millions who really need emergency support. So 400,000 people, what was the findings on the withholding of food as a weapon of war?
The team, they didn't conclude, they were not able to conclude that the Ethiopian government used famine as a weapon of war. But there are many, many, many reports regarding the blockade, regarding the situation you just mentioned, people living mostly in a famine kind of situation, and many humanitarian workers also, I mean, some of them have been killed. So there is a need really to also tackle that angle and to see how because the High Commission just mentioned the Prime Minister's statement that they will accept the recommendations of the report, and some of them is also, one of them is related to the humanitarian access. So we would continue to push, of course, and the High Commission will continue to use our voice and with all partners, with member states, to really try to push to have to see the situation improving a little bit, because people are suffering and it's unbearable.